I had someone give me a hard time one time about that song. They said, you shouldn't sing that song. I said, well, why is that? And he said, because it says, the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Well, it's just like saying you're the only one that's ever known. I said, no. I said, that's not what it's saying. What it's saying is, Christ comes to us individually. And the joy that I share is going to be different than the joy you share. The joy you share is different than the joy that I share. It's like I got four children. They're all different. They all have a different personality. All you know, they're all just different. And, you know, you kind of come to each one of them in the context of their gifts, their personality, their who they are. And the same thing, Lord knows us all individually. I've said sometimes I have sometimes a hard time praying in public, and that's because prayer to me is pillow talk. That's the things you say to somebody you wouldn't say anybody else, say to anybody else. You know what I'm saying? You know, the things is like, you know, talking to your spouse and saying things to them you wouldn't say to anybody else, and you just open your heart and be totally transparent. It's kind of the way it is with prayer. You know, it's transparent. Open your heart. Be real with him. And there's a sweetness, and you get a sweetness that nobody else knows, just you. Sometimes it's like, you know how it is, you can sit across the table and somebody says something, and you don't even have to wink. You just put a twinkle in your eye, and your spouse knows what you mean. You know what I mean? You're communicating, you know, and it's almost like God can get to the point where he guides you with his eye, not with bit and bridle, and you just kind of know who he is, and you walk with him. It's just real. It's just real. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to Ephesians chapter 5. Did anybody ever get a worksheet? Anybody need a worksheet? Slip your hand up. All right, got a few down the center aisle here, one down here. We did better. I wasn't seeing them. I was afraid maybe they forgot. John wasn't around, and I didn't know whether everybody knew that they were back there. But worksheet. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. We're going to be talking about the first 9 verses of chapter 6. But I want to put them in context here. You know, the chapter and verses were not in the original writings. I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they weren't in the original writings. And they were added to help us to learn the Bible. And that's good. That's good. Mr. Shaw, I think one more back here, all the way in the back. All right. Everybody else doing okay? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17. We actually read this briefly this morning. It says, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, we're filled with the Spirit. There's 3 things going to show up. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And 3, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Then it starts giving us some examples of real life practice of these things. You know, we're real quick to talk about these things in church, and here's what this is, and here's what that is, here's how it should be, and here's how this should be, and so forth and so on. But the fact is, living it out is a whole different ballgame. In fact, it's even worse living it out with our own family. You know, we can put on our professional faces. You know, we're out there. But when we come home, it's almost, you know, you let your hair down, and that little quirk that your spouse has, your kids have, that just bothers you, and has been bothering you for 25 years. And, you know, after a while, you're not nice about it anymore, you know. And just, you know, oh, my. Wait a minute. He says, there's some things here. We need to be filled with the Spirit. We're filled with the Spirit. We have a rejoicing spirit. We have a grateful spirit. We have a submission or a humble spirit. And then it says, verse 22, it's going to give us some examples. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are the members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as Christ, and even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up into the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. Speaking of the servants, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respect of persons with him. Let's stop right there, and we're going to talk about this topic tonight. Submission goes both ways. Submission goes both ways. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truths. And just as you tell us to train up a child in the way he should go, Lord, we too need to be trained. We need to go beyond the milk of the water of the word. But as we talk this morning, we need to add to our faith virtue, the virtue of knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, and patience godliness. Godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. But you say, if these things be in us and abound, and make us not to be barren or unfruitful. We can see some things, good things happen. We don't need to walk in the briars and the snares. May we do your word, seek your commandments with all our heart. We ask for your Holy Spirit to move, and we give you the praise for it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. I think that we generally understand submission as a one-way activity. I think most of us think of submission as a one-way, one-direction activity. I think many think that in the process of submission, that there are those that control, and then there are those that have to submit. There are those that rule, and there are those that are ruled. There are those that are privileged, and then there are those who are put upon. That is not how God sees things. We all submit. Sometimes we submit to follow, and sometimes we submit to lead, depending on our calling. Sometimes we submit to obey, and sometimes we submit to carry the responsibilities, to guide. No one has more right to rule than Jesus Christ, who is the sovereign, almighty, King of kings and Lord of lords. And yet no one has ever chosen to submit more than Jesus Christ, who was God in the flesh, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. We are all to have the mind of Christ. We are the body of Christ. So this only makes sense. We are to be like him. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, it says, we are to be followers of God as dear children. We are the body of Christ. We are to follow him. We are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, verse 10 says. We are to walk as he walks. We are to have daddy's demeanor. He says, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And I've said this before, you need to realize, listen, there are three indicators that the Spirit of God is moving. And I'm not talking about some kind of crazy, wild, supernatural, crazy thing going on. One of three things, and I'm not saying the folks can't do these and make them look like it's the Spirit, but if you've got the Spirit, I think there's going to be three things. One, you're going to be rejoicing. singing, listen, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This, be filled with the Spirit, you're going to have a rejoicing attitude. I think you're going to have a grateful attitude. I think we ought to be grateful for the God. And I mentioned this person, you know, who said, well, you know what? I'm a good person. I don't deserve what I'm having to get through. Well, are you alive? Well, you ought to be grateful for that. If nothing, are you going to heaven? Well, you ought to be grateful for that. I mean, if you think about what I'm supposed to have, what I'm supposed to be doing, and what I get to do, life is good. Listen, it's the grace of God. If I only get to live 5 years on this world, on this earth, with God's blessing, and then go to heaven, that right there is a blessing. It's better than living in hell those last 5 years. Right? I mean, it's a blessing. We ought to be grateful. And he says we ought to have a submission, a submissive spirit, a humble attitude. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So giving thanks always for all things to God, for the Father, name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting yourselves one to another, a submissive attitude. Last week we talked about this submission, I think, is one of the main keys of a happy home. Submission. That word submission underneath there, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another, means to purposely arrange yourself under somebody else. Put yourself in line behind. We'll get to number one here in a moment. Just hang tight with me. So submission is to arrange yourself. It says, in the fear of God, with great alarm, knowing that God knows what's going on. We talked about pride. Pride refuses to submit. But by pride cometh contention. If there's contention in your home, then there's pride in the home. Submission will get rid of it. Now, that doesn't mean you go crawl in the corner and suck your thumb, guys. That means you submit to your calling as a man of God to love your wife, to care for her, to do what a husband's supposed to do. Ladies, it also means that you need to submit to where you are. What you're supposed to be doing, your calling in life. You can't have two heads in a home. Anything with two heads is a monster. And monsters are mean. It's a mess. Submission is a choice. Submission serves. Submission is obedience. It also says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's a command. Now, if it's a command, we need to submit to the command. You got married, you submitted to the obligation of loving your wives. Listen, I didn't say whether you like her. Now, it only makes sense that you liked her at one time. Okay, so stop looking at things you don't like, start looking at things you do like. And if you're not married yet, marry somebody you like. But husbands are to submit to God, and submission is an expression of God. No one is submitted more than Christ, and submission loves that person. A couple other things we found out last week. Submission is sacrificial. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Submission is sacrificial. Submission is good for the one who is submitting. He says that we might sanctify. I'm going to say it. Submission is for the good of the one to whom we submit, that we might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word. Guys, you got married. You know what he's saying here? She wasn't perfect, though you thought she was. Lead her to know Christ more fully, more closer. Submission is good for the one that does the submitting. We reap what we sow. In fact, he says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. I think some men think they get married so she can serve him. You get married so you can serve her. Ladies, you get married so you can serve him. Submission goes both ways. Guys, you submitted to a lifelong obligation and responsibility to love, to care. Submission is unselfish. Verse 28 says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth, even as the Lord of the church. We take care of ourselves. But wait a minute, if you're one flesh with her, serve her. Be unselfish. And by the way, it'll do you some good. You know what I think? Feminism showed up mostly because men stopped being the kind of men God called them to do. They were chauvinists. They were arrogant. They made them feel like they were simply chattel, chattel, possessions, push around. You're supposed to honor her as the weaker vessel, the Ming vase. Submission also unites. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It says, man, leave your mother and father. That means you're no longer under them. You're now the head of your house. But now you're submitting yourself to the relationship that has just been established. And of course, he says, he's hearing that. This is all about the church in Ephesians. He's saying, this is a great mystery, verse 32, but I speak concerning of Christ and the church. There are attitudes and philosophies that need to permeate the heart and the soul of homes need to do so for the church. Our church, if it's going to reflect Christ, must be full of wives that submit to their own husbands. Our church, if it's going to reflect Christ, must be full of husbands who love their wives and are willing to sacrifice anything in order to care for their wives and lead their wives in righteousness, even if it requires them to sacrifice their own life to do it. That's what it said. That's how they're going to see Christ in us. That's what we are, to bring glory to God, to show God for who He is, all that He is. That's the calling of the church, the body of Christ. It's not to come here and say, well, I've done my job because I listened to that preacher rant and rave for 45 minutes again. It's saying, I'm going to learn to be what I'm called to be to fulfill my calling in Christ. We are the body of Christ. Let me give you number one on your paper here tonight. Children. Submit. Now, our title here is that submission goes both ways. You're going to see that very clearly. We've already seen it in husbands and wives. You know, submission is a dirty word. A lot of people don't like to hear that word, submission. We don't like to be put down, put in our place. And I've often said, and you've heard me say it, being the boss does not mean you have all privileges. In fact, it means you have mostly responsibilities. I heard a girl one time say, a teenage girl, I want to get married and have some kids so I can run my own life. I'm serious. Somehow they thought, well, if I get married and have some kids and I have to move out, I won't have mom and dad telling me what to do. I can run my own life. Wow. When you get married and have kids, you have decided to submit for the next 18 years for the kids or more, and for life. I mean, listen, marriage is a life sentence. Now, it can feel like a ball and chain if you're tied to the wrong one, but it can feel like you're living in a candy store if you're tied to the right one. But sometimes the right one can become the wrong one if you don't do your part of the submission. If you're not taking time to make this work, doing our part of the calling, somehow say, well, I don't have to, but they have to do what they're called to do. But, you know, they got to cut me some slack. Got a problem. We haven't learned. We haven't grown up yet. Children submit by, letter A, obeying. Children submit by obeying. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That word obey there means to hear under. The word is under. To hear under as subordinate. To hear that, to recognize we're under. Let me ask you a question. Who's in charge of the house? Now hang on. The parents or the children? I'm not asking who's supposed to be. I'm asking who is. Who calls the shots? Listen. There are so many parents. I've heard them all over the place. You've heard them in the grocery store. I've heard them in the church. They say, we got to do something. And they ask the child, well, what do you want to do? Now, the fact is, if you're going to go get ice cream, said, you want chocolate or vanilla? Okay, let them make a choice. But you don't say, well, okay, it's Sunday morning. Do you want to go to church? You don't ask your child that. Do you want to go to school today? You don't ask your child that. It's amazing how many things that people will put in there. Listen, do you want to do your homework? Well, I don't want to force you. Decide what's right and lead the children. It's your responsibility. That's what we submitted to when you started having kids. It says, obey your parents, for this is right. By the way, teenagers and kids, you know, if you're still living off of mom and dad, you're still a kid. If you're still eating, if you're still putting your feet underneath their table, you're still sleeping underneath their roof, you're still a kid. Well, maybe, you know, there was times our kids did some things. For instance, by the time they were 12, Janet had them doing their own laundry. I think some of them were even younger than that. But I think Nathan kind of thought, well, I guess I better learn how to do this. Everybody else is doing it by now. He just kind of jumped in there. I think he was like 10 or 11, you know. And that's training a child, all those kinds of, that's good. But wait a minute. Just because you did your own laundry doesn't mean now you can make your own decisions and everything you're going to do. Well, I decide I'm going to be out till 12 o'clock tonight. No, you didn't. You didn't make the decision because it's not in your realm to make that decision. Children, obey, for this is right. You know what it says? That word right means just. Here we go, number three, equitable, and the fair thing to do. It's the fair thing to do. Mom and dad's paying the bills. Mom and dad makes the decisions. And by the way, it would probably be wise to let them make some decisions. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. We ought to remember that. You know what it means? Children submit. Parents bear the responsibility of caring and providing and protecting the children. And the children should be grateful and obedient. And you're going to need to teach them that. When you train up a child, it's more than telling a child. Training up a child is doing it with them. So are you grateful for what you have? More likely, your child will be grateful for what they have. Do you obey the powers that be that are in your life? Well, more likely, they will obey the powers that be that are in their life. Do you know that there are children, I mean millions of children in our world, that eat with chopsticks. Chopsticks. I wouldn't have to go on a diet. And now my shirt would probably look like, you know, a mess, but but you know what? They grew up with it. They don't know any difference. This is why I say, listen, and I know the doctors say, well, don't bring your child to church. Don't do this. Don't do that. And I've had people say, well, don't put your kids on a schedule and all this kind of stuff. Wait a minute. I want to tell you, we put our kids on a schedule. Our schedule was that our kids needed to get through Sunday and Wednesday. Now, the rest of the time, they really didn't have a big schedule. But in order to be able to make it on Sunday and Wednesday, that was their schedule pretty well all week. Because then it was no problem on Sunday and Wednesday when it came time to go to church. You say, well, that's kind of mean for a little baby. They don't know you're being mean. They don't know. It's just the way you do it. This is the way it's done. They don't think you're being mean. And by the time they realize it, it's too late. This is the routine. You know, bring them in. They've sanitized the nursery. They've sanitized the crib. Put the baby in the crib and let it sleep. It can sleep here. It can sleep there. At home or here. Sometimes, you know, this lady picks me up. Sterl, there was a lady at the church at Open Door, and he liked her name was Ruby. He said, like Miss Ubi. Miss Ubi. He liked Miss Ubi because she was sweet. She liked him. He was Miss Ubi. He was probably about 1 or 2 years old when he was talking to Miss Ubi. Yeah. He didn't think about it. If you live life grateful, submissive, they will realize that's just the way you live life. Now, in the meantime, you're teaching them the Word of God. You're hiding in their heart. But by the time they learn to read it and hear that it's the Word of God, they're doing it already. It just makes sense. Watch this. Children obey by, letter B, by honoring. Children obey by honoring. Verse 2 and 3 says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. In other words, that set of promises being, watch this, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Now that doesn't mean, I brought you into this earth and I can take you out. You know, your life, no. But honor father and mother. It will help you. It'll help you physically. Don't fight them, just do what you're supposed to do. In fact, that word honor, watch this, number two, means to prize. To prize, P-R-I-Z-E. To fix an esteemed evaluation upon, to revere. Kids, teenagers, prize your parents. Put them a little bit on a pedestal. Now, by the way, parents, make it easier on them to do that. Be what you're supposed to be. Be honorable. Our church, if it's going to reflect Christ, I said must be filled with men who know how to love, women who know how to submit to their husbands. Wait a minute. Our church, if it's going to reflect Christ, must be filled with children who obey and honor their parents. Because that's what Christ would do in that position. Do you realize, my kids, watch me here. Do you realize that when Jesus was 12 years old, they were down in Jerusalem, and then they headed out of town, and he was back talking to all the doctors, you know, of religion. And they found out when they got ready to set up camp, he wasn't with them. So they came back the next day and found him. And then it says that they said, well, didn't you know I was going to be about my father's business? Now, he wasn't being smart. He wasn't smart enough. He was just doing what he was supposed to do. But watch this. That scripture says he went home and he was obedient and submissive and honored his parents. Do you think his parents ever did some things that were wrong? Probably. The fact is, he was right. He's God. He never sinned. If there was a conflict, it was actually on their side. So he was right. His parents actually were possibly wrong. But he submitted to them anyway, because that is right. You may not agree with them, but you need to submit. Number two, parents submit by taking on the responsibility to care for and train for their children. We submit. You know what? We're too proud to submit. There are parents all over our nation that are too proud, too busy, don't want to be bothered to raise their kids. They're not willing to submit to their calling. That's what we're talking about. Sometimes we're too lazy. We just let ourselves get too busy, too self-consumed to do the hard work of training the children. Training
the children.
Children need to be taught to submit. It says so in Deuteronomy 6. We read some of us today. Children need to be trained to be submissive. Now watch. Be someone who submits. We are training kids by showing an example of how to live and handle life by the way we handle life. Listen, kids know that you're supposed to take care of them. They do. I mean, a little baby who's born, just born, starts to nuzzle mom. There's something in here good somewhere. They sit at the table, our two little girls, Anna and Esther, when they were 1, 2, 3 years old, you said, it's time to eat. And here they come running. They sit in the chair and they suck these two fingers. And they suck these fingers, just waiting for mom to set the table. Because it was time to eat. They knew the mom was going to take care of it. That's her job. She's the mom. Isn't that right? It's the father's job to train and to coach and to lead these children. We have to take the responsibilities. But watch, look what it says here. It's in Ephesians 6, 4, it says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Now watch this. Provoke not your children to wrath. That word provoke, number one, either means to cause to be the same alongside. Provoke. To cause them to be the same thing as you are right alongside of you. Or to exasperate. It's that idea of saying, sit down, shut up, stop yelling. After we just yelled at them. We just trained them how to deal with somebody who won't sit down and shut up. You sit down and you yell. We're training. Adults, listen, in our Sunday school classes, all those kind of things, we have a policy here. If the child just will not sit down, will not obey, well, we don't bring them back. At least not for a week. And then we'll go back and we'll tell them, after a week we'll come back and get you again. Well, why do you do that? To train the child. Because if you don't, that child will run the ministry. And the ones who want to hear will not get to hear. I don't mean to be mean. Well, don't you care about him? Absolutely. He that spareth the rod hateth his son. If someone doesn't teach that child to submit by somebody who's not there out to punish him, but it's just the rules, what we got to do, and I really hate to do this, but this is what we're going to have to do. If we don't teach them, who's going to? And if they're not taught, what are they going to do out there when they try to go out and get a job? I'll tell you what's going to happen. We will pay through the nose for the next 50 years while they sit in jail someplace because they thought the world owed them a living. Now, I'm not doing to keep my pocket full so I don't have to pay their, that's just kind of a side benefit. What we're doing is to do something in that child's life to be something. Let God bless them. We get in the flesh. God's not going to bless us. Have we been listening on Sunday morning? Listen, God's not going to bless that. We've got to do it. It's the hard thing to do. To look in his big brown eyes and say, I'm sorry, you can't come back next week. That's hard. But what if they never come back again? We'll go back and we'll knock on their door and we'll try to get them back. But they don't, they don't. It was terrible. They made the choice. We tend to teach our children to be just like us. If we cannot rule our own spirits, we cannot teach our children to rule their spirit. You know what I'm saying? If we allow our tempers to flare, our children will learn to allow their tempers to flare. They will listen, and if they whine, okay, you can have it at the grocery store. But I want it. Can I have it? No. You want it? No, can't have it. No. But I want it. Ah! All right. You just taught them. If they yell and scream and kick you in the shins, they get what they want. I don't know why they're always kicking my shins. Because you taught them that they yell and scream and kick you in the shins, they get what they want. At that point, that's the last thing they're getting. Even if I was that close to getting, they're not getting it now. I'm not going to reward wrong behavior. It's training them. Well, that's a lot of work. You got to do the hard thing. Submit to your calling. Well, I thought I was going to get to boss them around. They have a soul and a will of all their own. Well, what do you do? Just out and door them. Just keep doing. Just keep doing right. Keep doing right. Start as soon as you can before they know that you're doing anything. We get ready. It's so funny. You know, you've heard me say this. We get in the car and go down to the SOAR conference, and about 6 o'clock, we're still on the road. Well, actually, about 5 o'clock, we're still on the road. And their kids were where they were little, said, well, they're starting choir practice at church. I didn't say it. They were saying it. Well, they're starting choir practice at church. Well, 6 o'clock, I guess they're starting church, and we're not there. Now, we're heading to church. We're going to get to Bobby Robertson's, you know, down there, Gospel Light, and they were a little later. And so we were getting in time there for church. But at that time, they were starting about 7:30 in the evening. And so we'd make it. We'd slide in there a little before 8 and get the last special or so and the preaching and everything. They're not, listen, on Sunday morning, there is never a question, should never be a question, are we going to church? Unless the person was half dead that night before. You know what I mean? Well, they're good enough to go to church. And by the way, I'm not being mean here. Again, I'm not being mean. We train. We train. Let me say this. If one kid is sick, the whole family doesn't need home to blow that kid's nose. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying, if one of the kids is sick and somebody needs to stay home with them, then one of the parents should stay home with them. But the whole bunch doesn't have to stay home to blow the kid's nose. Now, if mama's half sick too and so forth, well then maybe we all need, if both parents need to stay home, well, okay, all right, we're all going to stay home. I mean, there's times when things like that happen. I understand. It's kind of like the guy, he was heading out to the creek to go fishing. It was a Sunday morning. When he got out there, his buddy was out there fishing. He said, well, what are you doing out here on Sunday? I didn't think you fished on Sunday. Well, I couldn't go to church anyway. My wife is sick. But be honest with you, that's the way we do it. What are we teaching them? If we are willing to leave things in the hands of Him who judges righteously, the Lord, our children will also learn to live by faith and leave things in the hands of Him who judges righteously. I don't need to go off on everybody who goes across my desk that goes the wrong way, that rubs me the wrong way. Do not cause, when it says, provoke not your children to wrath, this is what it's saying. Don't cause them to get angry right along with you. That's what it's saying. Don't cause your kids, provoke them to get angry right along with you by teaching them that anger gets what you want. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Well, watch this. And ye fathers, back to verse 6, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, let her be, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Bring them up, here it is, rear up to maturity. That's the word you're looking for in underneath letter B1. Rear them up to maturity, to train them. How? In the nurture, the tutorage, the education, the training, the disciplinary. Here's the word underneath number 2, correction. Disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction. We read back in Samuel, Eli the priest had 2 boys that were a mess. Hophni and Phinehas, they were a mess. And why was that? The case said, God said, because he restrained them not. He never told them no. I've heard parents say, I don't want to ever have to ever tell my children no. Man, when I was a kid, I know this, know, can't do this. I'm not doing that to my kids. Wait a minute, you're still thinking like a kid. You were little kids. Well, I should have everything I want. I should have everything I want. I should have everything I want. Shouldn't have to do that. I don't care whether they're poor. It's something they ought to figure out how to way to get it for me. That's foolishness. That's selfishness. It's pride. And somehow they got taught that, or they refused to be taught the other way, and they turn around, and they're going to destroy, because the prosperity of a fool shall destroy him. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So you give a child everything he wants, you might as well just write Ichabod across his forehead, because he's done. God's not going to be able to bless that mess, because he's going to think everybody owes him for everything. He says in the nurture, that means the correction. And number three, admonition. Calling attention. That's the word you're looking for. Calling attention to. That is rebuke, warning, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So in other words, as the Lord would do it, not as we would do it. I've got to bring them up in the nurture, the correction, and the admonition. Don't do this. This is how we do this. The Lord said do this. Bring them up. That's what I'm supposed to do. That's work. Do you realize, anybody can father a child. But not just anybody can be a father. People become fathers and mothers of children because of selfishness. They want to, I'm not saying everybody does, but I'm saying there are people who do that out of self, and then they don't want to take the responsibility of what they have brought into their own life. Now, if our church is going to reflect Christ, our church must be filled with parents who submit to their parental responsibilities. It needs to be full of people who are of wives who are willing to be wives, husbands who are willing to be husbands, children who are willing to be obedient to their parents. When I showed up down at Open Door in Westminster, my wife and we started visiting when we were in our 20s. I was 20 couple, and she was a little bit more than that. And I think we joined in 83, so I was 23. And one of the things that sold me on that church was this. I knew God knew something was different there. God was there because of the way the teenagers behaved. Honest to goodness. The way they dressed. The way that, the respect that they had. I mean, I wasn't that much older than the teenagers. But they would stop and open a door. You pass them in the hallway. They would look you in the eye and talk to you. They say, good morning. Hi, good to see you. They'd shake your hand. They had some kind of respect for somebody else. They just wouldn't walk around and talk to them. That's not godly. You say, well, that's not that bad. It's not godly because it's not showing respect. Now, wait a minute. Parents should also respect the kids as a person. Now, don't treat them like they're 60. They don't want to be treated like that, but they ought to be treated with respect. Don't call them out in front of everybody else. Even in front of their other kids, if you can't help it. Respect them. It goes both ways. Number three, servants obey. I'm sorry. Servants submit by, letter A, obeying. Well, that's the same thing that children do. That's right. We obey the rules. Servants submit by, letter A, obeying. He says, servants be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. Now, the fact that you say, well, what does that have to do with me? Do you have any bosses? You have an employer that's over you? All right, let's just put it right there. Now, that word servant, you see on your paper there, means bond slave in subservience. Now, if a slave is asked to do this, how much more should an employee who agreed to the job in the first place do this? Right? You see what I'm saying? A servant, listen, that slave, it might not have been their choice. They may have been taken by force and put into servitude. Jesus was submissive. He was obedient unto death. He was a servant, a bond slave. Now that's hard, but that's God. That's what he's calling us to do. Wait a minute. You know what? The employer is your bread and butter. From the morning whistle to the closing bell, our employers own us. We just make sure we're not going against God's word and what they ask. Will you obey God rather than man? Otherwise, that's your job. Well, he didn't give me this by a half hour. Apparently not. Okay. He's your bread and butter. Are they going to see Christ in you? He says obeying. Watch this. Letter B, honoring. He says with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Listen, we are supposed to be obedient to our masters, the masters according to flesh he's talking about, with fear and trembling, with alarm, with fright. Listen, you mess with your boss and you have a lot to lose. You can lose your livelihood. You lose your livelihood, you can lose your well-being, thus the support of your family. Well, I'm not going back there. So you're not willing to submit to your family and your obligation to your family because you just don't like the way the boss talks to you. This is tough stuff. He says, with fear and trembling, that's quaking. When the boss says jump, then jump the best you can. Watch this, in singleness of heart. That means heartfelt sincerity and graciousness toward the master as unto Christ.
Well, I just don't like that man.
Show him Christ. Abraham Lincoln said the best way to get rid of an enemy is to make him your friend. I was talking to Brian Klinger a little earlier, and he said he had 1 year he ran his helicopter down to York Fair. I think it was last year. And it got in the paper, and it was a kind of a big stink because it over top the house. And I understand that. And so anyway, he offered them a ride, and they took the ride. They liked it. Didn't hear another word of complaint out of them. Overcome evil with good. Don't be overcome with evil. He says, as unto Christ. Romans 13:1 says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Romans 13:12. He's the boss. He's the boss. Look at this. You're supposed to obey. The servant's supposed to obey. Verse 6 down there on number 2 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. That word eye service means this. Looking good to the eye. As if you're serving, but not serving heartily as unto the Lord. Looking good. The boss shows up. All of a sudden, everything gets going. Colossians 3:23 says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. What are we? We are the body of Christ. As the Father has sent me, Jesus said, so send I you. He says, you're supposed to do it. Now you won't. I'm not going to make you comfortless. You won't be as an orphan. I will be with you. I will come to you in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes. You spend time with Him. You're going to have a rejoicing spirit. You're going to have a grateful spirit. You're going to have a submissive spirit. So I can't do these things you're saying. It's unreasonable. Of course it is. But it's not for God. And when you allow yourselves to be the tool to be used of God as the Holy Spirit dwells in you, it can be done. Because look, God didn't say, go out and show them who you are. He said, go out and show them who Christ is. If everybody could do it, then it wouldn't make any difference. Those who can do it are the ones who are led and submissive to Christ. The Holy Spirit's working through them. That's when you see the truth of who you really are, when it's real. Look, he says, not with eye service. I love this one. Number two, men pleasers. Watch this. That means, this is the word you're looking for. Man courting. Man courting. Fawning over. This is good. Slimy flattery. It's like, listen, gals, some guy comes along and he's laying it on so thick. I'm not saying that you're not pretty. I'm not saying you're not nice. I'm not saying your eyes are not like lipid pools of water and all. I'm just saying he pours it on there too much. You better watch out. And people do the same thing. Oh, they play up to the boss, but it's eye service. Men pleasers. We need to just do right with a pure heart toward God. Making it look like you're doing right to everyone else and even having all others fooled. God knows your heart, and if it is truly submissive and sincere, God knows it and he will bless it. Letter C. We are not to serve the master. We are not serving the master made of flesh. We're not serving him. Though in a way, we are. It says, verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. With good will, well-minded with kindness, doing service, fulfilling your role as a slave. Fulfilling your role as a slave. Boy, I feel like a slave around here. Okay. Number two, we are serving the master of the universe. Him who is invisible. That is who we are serving. And letter D, God blesses true submission. Not just look-alike submission. Well, I did it. Wait a minute. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond, slave, or free. Our church, if it's going to reflect Christ, must be filled with workers and employees who submit by obeying and honoring their bosses. I'm sorry. There it is. You know what that means? It's got to be real in your life. Not just talk on Sunday. Number four, got to get done here. Masters. Masters submit by taking on the responsibility to care for the servant. Now, let's say the bosses. The bosses. We got to care for them. Listen, we've brought on several young men and their families, young families, having babies. And we've had them, then they're out, you know. By the way, Brother Dallas should be with us on the Tuesday of the Bible conference. He's hoping to come up, so if you get by, you may have a chance to ask. I suppose, Lord willing. But I remember when they came. I remember when the Gerards came. And I remember when the Burrells came. Now, I told their parents, because I knew what I was thinking about. You know, all of a sudden their kids are out here nowhere. You know, who's this guy? We don't know this guy in this church. And I said, we will not send them on the street. I said, even if they mess up big time, I'm not going to set them on the street. We will take care of them. I told Brother Burrell, I said, now, we brought them both on as a team, as a pair, kind of a package deal. And between the two of them, they were making, you know, decent beginning wages, you know. But I said, now, if they start having babies, now, just assume you didn't, but, you know, there's some things you can't stop, you know. And I said, if you start having babies, we'll make sure you have enough to live on. Because she's going to have to stop working. She wasn't going to want to stop working. And so that's what we did. Now, he's not getting rich. They're not getting rich, but we're going to take care of them. Like I said, I'm on the street. Masters, take care of your people. Employers, watch this. It says, letter A, and ye masters do the same things unto them. That's what the verse says. Well, wait a minute. The servant is supposed to do all these things, and the master is to do the same thing. So what's he saying? The attitude with fear and trembling, with singleness of heart, is unto Christ. You got some employee that's just got an attitude, got a problem, got something stuck someplace in their nose or something. I don't know. They're having a hard day. He says, listen, with fear and trembling. What? Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, doing services to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond the slave or free the master. Submission goes both ways. I think sometimes they say, well, I'm going to get advanced, and I'm going to advance, and I'm going to advance, and I won't have to submit anymore. I get to be the boss. You know who stays after? The boss. Who has to make sure the bills are paid? The boss. Letter B. But it has one more thing for the boss. It's all the same things. But watch, for the boss, forbearing, threatening. In other words, give them some slack. The forbearing part. Let up on the menacing, the intimidations, and the oppressions. Knowing that your master also is in heaven, and neither is there respecter of persons with him. Just as the Bible says in Corinthians, that the men are the head of the house, just as Christ is the head of the man, head of the church, you know. Guys, don't you demand and treat your wife any differently than you want Christ to treat you. You're her head. Very good. He's your head. Bosses, remember who your boss is. As you want God to treat you, that's how you treat your employees. Your master has sure cut you a lot of slack and has forgiven you and has shown mercy and love. I'm talking about God. So our church, if it's going to reflect Christ, must be filled with employers who care for the well-being of their workers with a pure, genuine heart, with respect to without respect to persons. Submission goes both ways. No one is free from the command of submitting ourselves to one another. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart, giving thanks always for all things to God and Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. When we realize that we all need to submit to one another, I think we'll lose our pride. When we lose our pride, we lose our contention. When we lose our contention, we begin to love and appreciate one another, and people start seeing Christ in us. Galatians 5:13 says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know, watch this, by this shall all men know that they are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. That's our job, to be the body of Christ. And yet we bicker and fight and fume and yell and scream and fight. And I'm not talking to this person. Well, I'm not talking to them. Oh, my soul, are we not carnal? This is how a church can get along. Love one another. And thus seek the welfare of the other above your own. And thus we are going to serve one another. To serve one another, I need the spirit of submission. And I will have the spirit of submission and still be grateful, rejoicing, because I have the spirit of Christ controlling me as I am filled with the spirit. This is one of the primary ways that the world sees Christ, that you love one another. This is why Satan tries his best to get us crossways with each other and complain about one another and gossiping about one another and fighting over insignificant issues with one another, nitpicking. Pointing out somebody else's fault that you happen to have straightened out right now. And meantime, showing our own fault by the gossip. I was thinking about this morning, all the time. We talk about, you know, having a heart that's perfect toward God. It's not about saying, okay, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. You can't. It's about, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to yield. I'm going to fill my life with His Word. The victory is not in the fight. It's in the surrender to Him. God will do it. You've been patient with me tonight. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your blessings. Thank You for the truths. Lord, we need to be the body of Christ. And the world's going to see Christ in us. We need to have husbands who love their wives. We need wives who are willing to be wives. We need children who are willing to obey and honor. We need parents who are going to train, not provoke them to wrath. We need servants who are willing to obey and honor. And we need masters, employers, who are willing to care for the best, the well-being, to submit to the responsibility of the ones that's under their care. Lord, may Christ be seen in us. May we each be filled with Your Spirit. And may we serve as unto You. Not men pleasers, not eye service. With a sincere heart toward our Master. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.